I want to tell you a true story from the country of Sudan. There was once a young man called Philip who lived in the Bor region of southern Sudan. And Philip became a Christian in 1993. He was very good with his hands. He could make anything. But he also had dreams and visions about God. And one night, Philip had this vision of a cross flashing in front of him. And the vision was so strong in his memory that he remembered it for many days. And he was very fearful. He couldn't get rid of the vision of this cross. He couldn't sleep well, and it affected him very deeply. He gave up smoking, he gave up alcohol, he gave up making drums for when beer was being brewed. And one day a friend came to see Philip and asked if he would make a canoe. But Philip said, "I have no materials to make this canoe, I can't help you." But when Philip was out in the bush, he came across a fighter plane that had crash landed, and there was the gas tank made out of metal. And he took this gas tank home and he began to work with the metal. He found it was very soft and very easy to make things out of. And so he began to make the cross that he saw in his vision. And the moment Philip finished making this cross, the vision disappeared totally. And Philip was at peace. And I want you to look very carefully at the cross, because if you look at the shape of it, and also the shape of the plane which crashed, which is a MiG fighter. Can you see four MiG fighter planes all coming together in Jesus Christ? All their noses are colliding right in the heart of the cross. And this piece of metal belonged to a plane that was made in Russia, then was flown to Libya, then taken to Khartoum, and then used in bomb raids over Sudan. But what Philip was doing here was showing this big vision of Jesus Christ, that for all that was happening in Sudan, all the destructive powers, Jesus Christ was greater. He is the one that brings true, lasting peace. And that's why we come to worship every Sunday morning, to remember this big vision in Jesus Christ, that through his love poured out on the cross, he gives us a new beginning where there will be no more war one day, no more hatred, where people from every country will gather together in his kingdom and proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. That is the big vision. And so we were reading this morning this letter to the Thessalonians, and Paul wanted to share a big vision with the Thessalonians too. Paul was not in Thessalonica. He was down in Corinth. He was on this big journey. He had come from Philippi. He'd gone all the way up to Thessalonica. He had preached the gospel. But there were so many people, so many crowds coming to hear Paul in Thessalonica that the Jews did not like it. And so they pushed Paul out, and he went all the way down to Corinth. But he wanted to write a letter to the people in Thessalonica to encourage them, because this was a big city in the Roman Empire. Thessalonica was the capital city of Macedonia, and all of Macedonia was under the rule of the Roman Empire. And so this city was trying to keep people in touch with the rule of Rome, to be like the Romans. But Paul was saying, no, I want you to be different. Now, when someone writes you a letter or an email, I wonder if you scan through it really quickly to try and see what the message is about. Maybe you look for words that are repeated through the email or letter to give you an idea of what's being communicated. Well, we're going to do that with this message, this letter to the Thessalonians. And I want, if you're age 12 years or under, count for me how many times the word God appears in this letter. Can you do that? And shout it out when you think you've got the right number. How many times is God mentioned?
Seven.
How many times? Seven? Okay, well, we do it together. So verse 1, God our Father. Verse 2, God our Father. Verse 3, God. Nothing. Oh, verse 4, God again. Verse 5, God is there twice. Verse 6, God. Verse 7, nothing. Verse 8, God. Verse 9, we've Lord, we'll count that as God. Verse 10, nothing. Verse 11, God. And verse 12, God. How many is that? 11 times. Now, what is that telling you about the message of this letter? Who is Paul talking about? God. You can't miss it. Sure you can. Nearly every single verse is talking about God, our Father, God as our judge, that God will count us worthy, that God will give us grace. Paul wants his hearers to know that their identity lies in God. That's the big vision Paul wants to communicate to them. He doesn't want them to miss that. And if you look back at verse 1, let's go back to the church of the Thessalonians in God, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father. So if Paul is saying God is our Father, what does that make each one of us? Who are we? We are all his children. We're all part of the same family. And Paul wants to show the Thessalonians that that is their identity, their children of God. Their identity is not being part of this big capital city in Thessalonica. Their identity is not being part of the Roman Empire, but it was their relationship to Jesus Christ that gave them this identity. I was hearing this week about how when you come into the American culture, the level of anxiety you have rises. You have high levels of anxiety because there's a lot to worry about. You need to make sure you have the right visa. You need to make sure you've all the paperwork filled in correctly, and there's always a lot of paperwork, isn't there? You need to have the right identity papers, your social security number so that you can open your bank account. You need your Michigan driver's license to open your electricity account. And maybe you don't drive, so you need to go and do your driving test to get that piece of paper. Maybe some of you have to study for an English exam, and that is another piece of paper. And so all the anxiety rises and rises to get your green card. You need a medical exam. You need the right vaccinations. You need a record of your vaccinations. You need to figure out how to talk to people. Sometimes it's not face-to-face, but it's through email. And how does emails work? It's all very complicated. And all these things can make you feel that you're not worth anything, that you don't belong because you don't have the right card or the right piece of paper. But Paul is telling those in this city, God is our Father in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is our identity. It's not based on our paperwork, but our identity is being part of the kingdom family. And so Paul says, God is our Father, and our reason for being on earth is to live for His glory. That's why Paul is writing. He says right at the end of the letter, we pray that the Lord Jesus will be glorified in you. Paul says one day Jesus is going to come again, and Jesus is being glorified in His people. But what does that mean, this glorified word? What is glory? Well, I want you to imagine this box is very heavy, and it's to do with God's glory. And inside this box are all the things that when you put together add up to equal God's glory. Now, before we started the service, I gave some words to young people, and I want you to come up and bring your word, and we'll see what makes up God's glory. So Yazzie has got love, so that goes in to make God's glory. Priya, what have you got? Power, that goes to make God's glory. God's truth, God always speaks the truth, never lies, that's part of God's glory. God knows everything, He's full of knowledge, and that goes to make God's glory. And God's grace, God is always loving, God is always gracious, and all these attributes come in to make God's glory. And I want you to imagine that this little box is who we are. And God wants us to have all the characteristics of His glory. And He is trying to form glory in us. But there's a problem, because we haven't got there yet. We're still on earth. And God in His glory is sometimes hidden. We can't always see God in His glory. He's not visible. We have to wait until Jesus returns, and then we'll see Him in His full glory. So how do we keep going? Because the problem was, in Thessalonica, these Christians were being persecuted really badly. People were planning to create so much trouble for them. And being a Christian was so hard. How were they going to keep going until that day when they met Jesus face to face? Well, that's why Paul writes this letter. He encourages them and says, first of all, I'm going to give thanks to God for you. Now, I don't know if there are any teenagers in this room, or maybe you're a parent of a teenager. And all of a sudden, in 1 month, they grow an awful lot. Maybe they started at the month with size 5 shoes, but by the end of the month, they're in size 8 shoes. Anyone like that? Anyone having a growth? Oh, Jacob, is that you today? Or maybe you start at 5 foot and then you grew 3 inches in 1 month. You grow so quickly. Well, Paul says in this letter, you Thessalonians, you're having a growth spurt. You're having hypergrowth. That's the Greek word. Even though you're under a lot of testing, you might think this testing is uncomfortable and unnecessary, but what it's doing in you is producing growth. And that's why I'm thankful for you. When you train for a marathon, it can be hard. You do all these miles day after day, and it's painful, but the reason you're doing it is to reach the goal of completing a marathon. And Paul is saying here, I'm giving thanks to you because of your faith. Your faith is being tested. But the goal is to make your faith grow like this muscle. Your faith is growing more and more. Because in your testing, you have to put your faith not in your money, not in your friends, not in your family, but you need to keep your faith in God. And that's pulling you closer to me. That's the first thing. But then Paul says, I give thanks to not just because of your faith, but you're getting hope as well. You're under hardship. You're persevering so well. And that's keeping your hope alive. Because one day, Paul says, yes, evil people are doing so many evil things to you, but hold on to your hope, because one day God will return as judge, and he will decide what to do with all the people who have been troubling you. He says in verse 6, God will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give you relief as well. Sometimes when you're being tested in life, you can think life is not fair. Why does God allow this? Why is there no justice? And the Thessalonians were facing such hard persecution. I'm sure they wondered, why does God let these evil people trouble us? But here Paul is saying, God knows the right time to be the judge. He knows how to be the judge. He will give back the exact amount of trouble that has been given to you. So keep your hope. So he gives them faith. He says your faith is growing more and more. He says your hope is anchored in God as judge. One day he will return and he will execute right justice and judgment. But the final quality, he says, that he gives thanks for is the love. He sees these people under persecution in Thessalonica. And you might think that might want to make them withdraw into their own private group, but it doesn't. Instead, Paul says, your love is being shared. You're sharing your love with everybody, and I give thanks for that. And you see, all these qualities are what it means to be like Jesus. Because didn't Jesus show that kind of love on the cross? When people were torturing and humiliating him on the cross, he still showed love, and the foundation of his faith was doing the Father's will. And everything that Jesus did was based not on fear, but on love. And there are so many groups today that meet together based on fear. You need to be enough. You need to have enough money to join our club. You need to be like us and speak like us to be part of our group. But the cross says love is different. Love is what holds us together. And so Paul is saying to the people in Thessalonica, keep your eyes on these qualities, because these qualities will pull you closer and closer to me and make you more like me, and you will be glorified, so that one day when Jesus returns, you will have all these qualities too. And in the meantime, Paul says, I'm going to keep on praying for you. I'm giving thanks to God for you, but I'm also praying for you that you will run the race well, that you'll not give up, that you will keep this vision of Christ's love. In the same way Philip had the vision of the MIG cross, you have to keep your vision on Christ's love, because that will give you peace. So I want to ask you today, what about you? Let's think about these three qualities of faith, hope, and love. How are they growing or hyper-growing in your life? I want you to think about one quality and focus on it and think, how am I growing in faith? Maybe you're saying today, I don't know how my life is going to work out, but I have faith in God. I know that God is good. I know that He has counted me worthy, so I'm going to put my faith in God. Or maybe you have hope and you're growing in hope. Maybe someone has hurt you really badly and you live with that hurt and you're struggling to forgive. But you're living in hope that God is just, and in the right time and in the right way, He will make it all work out. Or maybe your challenge is to grow in love, because you see so much love in others and you want to live in a way that's not selfish, but selfless and sacrificial. How are you going to grow in these qualities today? And we can only do that by keeping our eyes on Jesus and who He is. God doesn't want us to live with a small vision that keeps pulling us into self-pity or bitterness. He wants us to keep our eyes on the big vision of being glorified, so that when He appears, we are like Him and we shall see Him as He is. So as a commission today for each one of you and the qualities that you're seeing at work in your life, let's stand and say this prayer and say it to each other. Okay, so let us stand and commission each other. So we say to each other, we pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in Him. Amen.